Chapter 16. Gwen. The revelry among the diners was waning, and many of the guests had begun to disperse to their crowded bedchambers. The barracks were full to bursting with men, and twice that number would sleep on the floor of the hall. Tomorrow evening would bring Hallowmas. Tegwyn would be put into the ground before then. Gwen wasn't looking forward to the ceremony, not with the grief so fresh and close to the surface. Earlier, when the king had finally stood at the high table and announced Tegwyn's death, though not that she was murdered, and then when Gwalchmai sang a lament without accompaniment, the outpouring of emotion had left Gwen stricken along with everyone else. She had told Mary that she pitied Tegwyn and was trying not to judge her. But Gwen wished Tegwyn had shown a little more spine. Gwen understood that Tegwyn loved Bran, or had at one time, but love should have set her free, rather than cowing her as it seemed to have done. "Why me?" Gareth said, bringing Gwen's attention back to the table where she was sitting with him and Godfred.
"You are good at finding things," Godfred said.
Gareth leaned forward.
"You want something found?"
"The Book of Kells."
Gwen's mouth dropped open. "The Book of Kells is missing?" The Book of Kells was a 300-year-old manuscript containing the first four Gospels of the New Testament. The monks had so beautifully illuminated it that the book was treasured by all the peoples of Ireland, regardless of what kingdom they lived in.
"It has been stolen," Godfred said, "by Ottar's son, Thorvin. I believe he brought it to Wales."
"You'd better start at the beginning," Gareth said.
"Like you did with your story,"
Godfred said, and then pursed his lips, his eyes raised to the ceiling as he thought.
"You are aware of the troubles in my country?"
"I am aware of the conflicts between the Kingdom of Dublin and the four kingdoms of Ireland," Gareth said. "It seems to me that with your people holding only Dublin, and all the kings of Ireland after it like a prize, you are in a precarious situation."
"They eye us like dogs with only one bone among them," Godfred said.
"I gather that things have grown more difficult in the year since we were there," Gwen said.
"My father maintained a tenuous peace, and he was happy to allow the Irish kings to fight among themselves for the high kingship,"
Godfred said.
"In turn, they did not actively object to his rule of Dublin."
He made a motion as if to spit on the ground.
"Since last year, however, we have grown weaker under Ottar."
"Ottar," Gwen said. "I hear you speak of your father as if he is no longer king. I thought Ottar and Torkal shared power."
"Not anymore. My father is unwell, and my brother and I have been unable to win over to our side enough of the men who once supported my father and now support Ottar. They see my father's illness and call him weak."
That was a sin of the greatest magnitude, for any king, though more for the Danes than for some.
"It is Ottar who threatens our very existence,"
Godfred said.
"How so?" Gareth said.
"He fails to strategize and use our men and resources wisely. He fights when he should run, and retreats when he should stand."
While Godfred's body remained relaxed in his seat, his words belied his external calmness. This was important to him. In fact, there might not be anything more important to him than this. He'd been born a prince of Dublin, raised to believe that the throne would one day be his, and now found himself to be a grown man without a kingdom. Despite his denials, Gwen hoped he hadn't come to Wales expecting King Owain to give him an army to lead against Ottar. The king had his hands full as it was with the wars to the east and south, among the Normans, the Lords of the March, and lesser barons and powys. In addition, King Owain was cousin to the same Irish kings that threatened Dublin. He would have to see a huge advantage in taking the side of the Dublin Danes to risk angering the Irish.
"How does the Book of Kells come into it?" Gareth said.
"Ottar's son, Thorvin, sacked Kells and burned it as part of a summer campaign to expand our territory and create a buffer around Dublin,"
Godfred said.
"In the course of the fighting, he stole the Book of Kells."
"He meant to hold it hostage?" Gwen couldn't think of another reason to take it. It wasn't a person, but the Irish of Leinster might be willing to move heaven and earth to get it back.
"As a bribe," Godfred said.
"I don't understand," Gareth said.
"Thorvin took the book intending to use it as a partial payment to Gilbert de Clare, to convince him to help us in our fight against the Irish,"
Godfred said. Gareth kept his eyes fixed on Godfred's face.
"Clare, the Earl of Pembroke?"
"Indeed,"
Godfred said.
"Clare has been fully embroiled in the fighting in England," Gareth said. He switched sides almost as many times as the Earl of Chester. Given how many times the Earl of Chester had switched sides, that was saying something. Gwen had never given any thought to the Earl of Pembroke's allegiances, but she reminded herself that Gareth had just spent 3 months in the south, in lands bordering on Clare's. He was Howell's right-hand man, and was more aware of political alliances than she was. When they were alone, politics weren't something they often discussed, especially when the hours they'd had together were few enough as it was.
Exactly, Godfred said, which is why Ottar has turned to him. Clare has lands in Wales, but his hold on them is as tenuous as King Stephen's hold on his kingdom. Clare has lost men and resources on a war that at the moment cannot be won. And if he did have lands in Ireland, they would make him that much more powerful and influential. Land equals wealth, equals power, as you well know.
And the Normans can never have enough, Gwen said. Godfred snorted.
No man can ever have enough, Gwen.
Godfred's tale was the last thing Gwen had expected to hear. She could understand how desperate Ottar must feel to have his kingdom slipping away from him, but to bring in the Normans was folly. Ottar should know better than to invite the Normans in. Once they achieve a foothold on Irish soil, it will be all but impossible to get them to leave.
That is my fear, Godfred said. What do you believe to be Ottar's plan? Gareth said. Leinster, the kingdom to the south of Dublin, is ruled by the weakest of the Irish kings, Godfred said. Ottar would welcome Clare's army into Dublin, and use his men to fight outward from there.
The Book of Kells is a strange sort of pledge, Gwen said. Is Ottar even a Christian?
We are all Christian, of one kind or another,
Godfred said. Gwen supposed that King Stephen was too, and Empress Maud, and that hadn't stopped them from tearing each other and England apart. Gwen had seen the consequences of their struggle for the English throne firsthand, and wanted no part in it. Godfred continued.
But from what I understand, it wasn't Ottar's idea to take the book. Clare wanted Ottar to attack Kells, which was northwest of Dublin and outside our current range, and burn it, as proof that he has the wherewithal to use Clare's men effectively if he is given them. Clare wants to come into the middle of a war, not arrive in Dublin to discover that Ottar expects him to do all the work.
It sounds like a foolish idea to me, Gwen said. The people of Ireland, of whatever kingdom, treasure that book. All Ottar may have done is arouse the anger of the four kingdoms of Ireland. When and if Clare arrives in Dublin, he might find them fully arrayed against him.
That could be Clare's plan, Gareth said. He wouldn't be the first lord to incite his opponents, in this case the Danes and the Irish, to do battle against each other, and then swoop in afterwards to find neither has the strength left to fight him.
Godfred growled low in his chest.
You do not comfort me.
I apologize, old friend, Gareth said, but my words weren't meant to. Do the Irish kings know of Ottar's plans for Clare? Gwen said.
Godfred shook his head and shrugged at the same time. I do not know. I only know that my father wants me to find the book and return with it to Ireland. He would stop this war before it starts.
What if Clare could help Dublin regain its former glory? Gwen said.
Ottar is headstrong and reckless, Godfred said. He might lead us into battle, but I don't believe he can lead us out again. Remember, it was he who allowed himself to be tricked by Prince Cadwallader into coming to Wales. The man sees only what is in front of him. A king needs to see many steps ahead.
Getting back to Thorfinn, Gareth said. If he has already given the book to Clare, I don't see how I can be of help.
That's just it, Godfred said. It doesn't appear that Thorfinn has succeeded in his quest. We know that he sailed for Wales, but we have heard nothing from him since.
Would you know? Gwen said. Are you in Ottar's confidence?
I have shamed myself by standing at his side of late. I would never have done it, if my father hadn't ordered me to do so, that I might spy for him in Ottar's court.
Godfred made a face as if he'd tasted something bitter.
I begged Ottar to allow me to come here to search for the book, though I didn't tell him that I wanted the task, because the bile in my stomach threatens to undo me.
What of your brother? Gareth said.
He obeys my father, too. Ottar believes him to be outspoken at times against aspects of his plan, but loyal to his cause.
Clare isn't going to be happy to discover that Thorfinn sailed for Wales, but has not brought him the book. Depending on his own plans, he will have to choose between supporting Ottar anyway, or giving up the plan entirely, Gwen said.
The two men Claire sent as ambassadors to Uttar's court sailed with Thorvin and are also missing,
Godfred said. Could they have had a better offer? Gwen said. If so, the book could be anywhere by now.
That's unlikely, surely, Gareth said.
I can see Thorvin changing his mind and using the book for his own ends, whatever they might be, but I can't see him working with Claire's men to betray his father.
Uttar agrees, Godfred said, which is why I'm here.
I can't believe that Uttar actually sent you, Gwen said. You are the son of his rival. What's to prevent you from finding the book and presenting it to Claire yourself, to gain his help in overthrowing Uttar?
Godfred threw back his head and laughed.
I like how your wife thinks, Sir Gareth.
Then he shook his head.
Uttar sent his own men to Pembroke to confer with Claire. Uttar sent me here, which he hopes will keep me far away from his allies and out of trouble.
He took a long drink from the cup in front of him and wiped his mouth on the edge of his cloak.
He doesn't know the extent of my friendship with Gwynedd.
How you managed to escape suspicion after the events at Abermanai is beyond me, Gareth said. But I am glad that you did.
Uttar got rich off Cadwallader's cattle,
Godfred said.
He even gave me some credit for making it happen.
You are a crafty devil, Gareth said.
As are you.
Godfred clapped a hand on Gareth's shoulder and shook him.
I have long thought that you are the man to come to if trouble strikes. I have seen it with my own eyes.
I would like to help you, Godfred, I would. But I do have the matter of Tegwyn's murder to clear up first, Gareth said. And I must speak to Prince Howell before I could even begin such a quest.
Of course,
Godfred said.
I am also an ambassador from my father to the court of King Owain, come to celebrate Cullen Gaev with his people.
And perhaps gain his help in overthrowing Uttar, Gareth said. Godfred smirked.
That too.